Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of How We Wrote the Book. My name is Yomi Adegake.
And I'm Elizabeth Yubebenene.
And today we're going to be talking about getting the ball rolling. Okay, so first things first, we're going to talk agents. Essentially, why you need an agent and how to find one. So with how me and Elizabeth found our agent, it was kind of, to be honest, characteristically serendipitous. We didn't really sort of go the traditional route because we didn't really know what the traditional routes of finding an agent were. So in the same way that when we were trying to write a book proposal, we essentially Googled it, in terms of finding an agent, it was pretty much the same process. There was a lot of sort of Googling and a lot of online stealthily searching for who could represent us. A great piece of advice that we received was that if you are looking for somebody to represent you, it's very good to look at books and authors that you admire and see who represents them, and then try to essentially get in touch with those people, or look for authors that represent works that are as similar as possible to yours in terms of genre, in terms of kind of like how they read, and then sort of have a look at who they're representing and get into contact with them. Twitter's an excellent space for connecting with agents and sort of reaching them directly. You'll often see agents putting out requests and sort of doing threads that sort of state what kind of writing they're looking for, whether that be nonfiction, fiction, romance, crime, thriller, novels, or whatever. They tend to put out sort of threads that outline where their interests lie and what they're looking for in terms of submissions, which can be very useful. But this is all stuff that we pretty much found out after the fact. So how we actually ended up getting our agent was because a tweet was put out by another author who said that, you know, if you are a young, he put out a tweet sort of saying that if you're a young minority person that's unrepresented in the industry and has no sort of agent, that, you know, you should send him over your proposal and that he would forward that on to somebody in the industry that was, you know, seeking, was taking submissions for that type of content. So on a whim, I think he tweeted this out maybe, I'd say probably about 3 weeks before we'd seen the tweet. So on a whim, you know, we saw the tweet. I sent him an email with our proposal in it. He ended up sending our proposal to two different agents that were looking for submissions and were actively looking for submissions. And off the back of that, we ended up meeting with one and just essentially hitting off with them immediately. It was really very lucky, to be honest, in terms of how it happened. It was just before Christmas and we sort of had a meeting with her over a coffee and signed with her then and there. And it was very much, I'd say, in our case, a gut feeling in terms of instinct. I think we'd reached out to one other agent prior to this. Before any of this, we'd just been sort of sending emails to quite literally almost like info at like HarperCollins, info at like wherever else, because we didn't have the direct email addresses for particular agents, and we didn't know where to start. But thanks to that author that put out the tweet, we were directly looped in with someone who had a very specific interest in the kind of work that we were doing. But I think for lots of people, it's a lot more of a sort of labored process where there's a lot more back and forth. They meet with a lot more people before they kind of take the plunge with a particular agent. But we were very lucky to find somebody that we immediately hit it off with. And that also was willing to kind of, this was somebody who allowed us to essentially have a kind of more bespoke relationship with her agency. So they made certain concessions in terms of how certain things fit around our schedule and what we were looking for from that relationship. Certain elements were ring fenced within the contract, which was very useful. But that's essentially the story of how we ended up with our agent. And yeah.
So in terms of knowing why you need an agent, it's because the agents are essentially the gatekeepers in the publishing world. They essentially have the contacts and a network that they basically use to send off to various different publishing houses. And the thing about publishing is very, very relationship based, and it's very important to kind of like for agents to kind of build different relationships across different publishing houses, and different publishing houses have different types of imprints which kind of sit in larger publishers, so they know exactly, you know, who's which editor really likes this type of thing and which editor has moved where. So that's why agents become somewhat like the gatekeepers of essentially the publishing industry. So you also, another reason why an agent is also a good route to go down is because they understand the work quite intimately, and they can help you shape your proposal. We spoke about proposals last episode, and you know, you send this proposal to your agent, and you know, very few agents will then send it untouched to the publishers. So what you do is you work with your agent to kind of shape your proposal to make sure it's the best fit for X editor. So those are the kind of the reasons why you need an agent, and why picking one is essentially like you know, like quite important in kind of your deliberation if you want to go down the agent route, or as opposed to doing it yourself. And they make sure that whatever deal that you have with your publisher is essentially like, you know, good and credible. Doing it alone, unless you have essentially, you know, legal experience and all of that sort of stuff, and you've got your own lawyer or things like that, it's always kind of good to have these things sense check, especially if you're a first time author. So yeah, those are the kind of reasons why I guess we went down the agent route. And yeah, definitely something that we recommend, especially if you're a first time author and you want to kind of make sure that you're getting a good deal, and also that you're giving yourself the best chance to essentially get yourself in front of editors and make sure that they're kind of excited about your work, because it's you know, it's the editors that have to then go to the publishing meetings and kind of like, I guess, pitch what you're doing. So they've got to essentially like really understand that and really love what you're doing. And I think that comes from the agent, how the agent kind of sells you in. So you and your agent have that kind of intimate relationship. And someone said to us that, you know, I think it was like an agents for life. So you may move from different publishers, from public, like, you know, different books may sit in different publishing houses, but the kind of aim with having an agent is like a long-term relationship, as opposed to like a one-off, because as we said, publishing is a very relationship-based kind of industry.
Absolutely.
So Yomi, how do you approach people, and what is the best way to kind of, you know, get your foot in the door with an agent once you've kind of nailed down on who you want your agent to be, essentially?
So yeah, I definitely think that it can be a process that's like, you know, very mystified if you haven't done it before. But once you know where to start, it's a lot more accessible than it kind of can appear to be. So essentially, once you have sort of done the kind of research in terms of, you know, who you'd potentially be interested in representing you, that can be by, you know, looking at authors, you know, as I've already said, that represent work that's quite similar to yours or represent some of your favorite authors and writers. There are several different ways of sort of making those initial first steps and initial first contact. But what I've noticed that quite a lot of people like to do is kind of reach out on Twitter first. When agents have sort of written threads that have said that they're actively searching for submissions, some people sort of will comment or message them directly and sort of say that they're going to be in touch, just to make sure that that agent can keep an eye out for that work, because obviously often they're inundated with like submissions, manuscripts, writing and lots of different things. So they will kind of try and build up that initial relationship or connection on social media first, just so they're kind of like looking out for their submission when it comes. But then one of the most straightforward routes would be after you've done that, you don't even necessarily have to do that, but that's just something that some people like to do as a preliminary thing. But, you know, making sure that you go on Google, you find their agency, which is usually just as straightforward as typing in their name on Google followed by the agency name. It sounds really straightforward, but when we were starting out, we literally had no idea where to begin. And then often there'll be, you know, on the website, their information, their email, contact or address where you can send submissions to. Submissions often take weeks to be responded to because, you know, they're going through so many manuscripts and they often can't provide individualized feedback. So I think, you know, I've seen some sites that say, you know, it takes between 3 and 8 weeks to receive feedback. I've seen some where they've essentially said, you know, it could take up to 3 months, but they often say that if you haven't heard from them after a particular amount of time, then you should essentially gauge that it's likely that you've been unsuccessful with your application. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Just reaching out to them on via their agency website, which will often provide their address. And, you know, just if you're kind of want to make sure that you kind of stand out from the crowd, or that, you know, to just kind of ensure that you can get a response. Sometimes it is good to kind of connect with them on social media beforehand or in any other way, maybe LinkedIn or something, to just make them aware of the fact that you will be sending a submission. But then also with that, don't necessarily pester them by sort of being like, you know, often perhaps a few weeks without hearing a response, sort of, you know, sending messages saying like, where's my reply and stuff like that, because obviously, you know, as we've said, they'll be getting lots of emails anyway. So I think it's kind of okay to do before you reach out, but afterwards, you know, they do sort of outline that if you haven't heard back from a particular amount of time, it's unlikely you've been successful. But yeah, it's quite a straightforward process in terms of reaching out. It's just like applying for anything else.
Hey marketers, want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
So rejection is a really big part of the publishing process. And as well as, you know, rejections obviously sometimes coming from publishers, of course there can be rejections from agents that don't necessarily feel like your book works for them or is something that they'd be able to represent well. It's not necessarily down to the quality of the writing, but it can still sting. Elizabeth, how would you say that you deal with rejections during this process of reaching out for an agent?
It's something that can be quite personal, because unlike, you know, applying for a job and, you know, and having and sending your CV across, you know, when you send over your proposal, you've got bits of your writing and you talk about yourself and all of that sort of stuff. So getting a rejection or someone saying this isn't right for them can definitely feel personal. And the one thing you can't, you know, getting your feelings about is definitely making it feel personal and being feeling like they don't necessarily like your writing. And I think that's something that we had to, I remember when we had our rejection from an agent that we sent a proposal to, we followed the advice that we gave you, we were giving you guys, which is essentially look at people's work that you like and then kind of court their agent essentially. And we did that with, you know, one particular author and her agent, and we thought this agent totally gets us and is, you know, she will get us naively, because, you know, it's quite similar. I remember it felt like such a sure thing. And we sent over the, I remember it was Yomi actually, Yomi sent over the proposal, and I remember her saying, it's gone. I was like, yes, excited. And then we got a response back, basically saying that this person didn't necessarily love the work and felt that, you know, it could do with some work. And I remember when Yomi told me the kind of like feedback, and I was just like doing my shopping, and she called me and she was like, yeah, we got a no from this person. And I was just, I don't know. I think because the feedback, I think with feedback, you have to kind of decide what you take on. and what you kind of decide to improve on, but you have to also go with your gut. So I think that's also part of managing rejections. Nobody is essentially like God and has like 100% perspective on everything. So I would definitely say you have to kind of, you know, sense check. You have to go with your gut. And I remember her, when Yomi told me like her feedback, and I remember just feeling demoralized at the start for like 5 minutes. And then I thought, no, that feedback doesn't correlate. And I just knew my gut. I respected her work. I respected what she did, but I didn't necessarily respect that. I didn't necessarily essentially like agree with that piece of feedback. And as someone who, you know, is doing that work, it's kind of, you have to have an objectivity sometimes with your work and not take it personal, like I said. So I think we just had that self-belief that, you know, we're going to take what the feedback she had on, decide what feedback we want to kind of, you know, improve on, and decide what feedback we want to kind of stick to. And I think that's the kind of attitude that you have to have if you're going to be a writer and you're going to, like, you know, share your work. Not everybody's always going to like what you do. You just need a few people to love it. Not everybody needs to like it. So I think for us, you know, we went into that situation quite naive, but it was quite good because I think it kind of gave us the kind of grit to understand that, you know, not everyone is essentially going to like be like, this is the best thing ever. So handling rejections, don't take it personal. Try and step out of it and, you know, be objective as possible. Understand that a lot of the time it's just a numbers game, and not everybody's essentially going to feel like they, as Yomi said, they can represent your work in the best way. And, you know, all you need is one yes. Like, I just think that's the most important thing in life. You don't need, I think it's that, you know, that Lady Gaga meme that came out last year where she won an Oscar or something, and she was just like, no, she didn't win an Oscar. I think they put like a montage of her saying the exact same speech over and over again when in interviews, when she was doing press junkets, and she was basically saying all you need is, you know, that one person in the room to believe in you. And I genuinely
100 she said it so many times, and we still don't know that we, despite how many times she said that, we still do not know exactly what she said, but it was something about one person believing you at 100.
Who was that person? I think that person deserves a lot of props.
It was Bradley Cooper. I think so. I'm just making it up. I'm doing a fan fiction because I think he was in Oliver. But anyway, you're talking about something more. Honestly, that's for our next podcast, but you're talking about something more important. So go on.
I think that's definitely true. You just need that one person. And that one person, I think, you know, our journey into the publishing world was definitely something that we did together. So we were and are each other's the other person. So you can always just go, how are you feeling about that? So doing things alone, not everybody's going to have a co-author. So I've definitely said, you know, go and ask your friends and people that, you know, really rate you and, you know, rate what you're trying to do. And also people that see the bigger vision. I think all you need is that Bradley Cooper essentially to basically just say like, yeah, I believe in you and keep going. And I think ultimately, like, you just need that one yes. That one yes can change your life. And, you know, it sounds really like whimsical and like, oh my God, I have a dream sort of thing, but you genuinely just need that one yes. So it's never that deep. And you just got to keep having a sense of resilience and grit towards the work you're trying to create and the vision you're trying to essentially achieve. So yeah, don't take it personal and just be as objective as possible.
And another thing that comes up quite a lot in terms of agencies, and I guess it's the same thing with publishing houses, but it's a conversation I had very recently actually about the type of agent you choose to go with. People often get into the habit of looking at who they're, you know, obviously we just said that, you know, you should kind of often base who you decide to go on with based on like who they're representing, if they're representing similar works, if they, you know, represent people that you respect the work of and whose work you're interested in. But what people do tend to do is sort of base which agency they go to on, you know, how kind of famous and successful and like dazzling the clientele they represent is, which is definitely not a good idea, because often that can lead to you, if you know, for instance, you see an agency, they represent like the biggest sort of and baddest of the writing world, and you assume that means that they're going to serve you well, that's just not the route to go down. First of all, they might not necessarily be as well equipped to work with writing such as yours. It depends on what you're writing about. It depends on what that particular agent rather than the agency is into. But also at times you know, with agencies, and the same can be said for publishers, you can really sort of feel like if you don't go with somebody who is very passionate about your work, as Elizabeth said earlier, and is very much behind your work, then it can be very easy for you to become a very small fish in a big pond, and for you to get sort of lost amongst the rest of the people that they're representing. It's really important that you go with someone that really, really understands and gets behind what you're doing, because, you know, it's very common for writers, especially, like, being frank, writers that are from underrepresented backgrounds, to sort of almost be collected to kind of, you know, show that that agency is, you know, diverse, inverted commas, and then you just essentially sit there on the shelf untouched without any real proactiveness in terms of putting your work out there, as does your book sit on the shelf. Do you know what I mean? Like, that we were very lucky that, you know, we were an agency where we were very much considered a priority, our work was very much understood, but you know, there were lots of amazing writers on our agents list, but not all of them were super famous, and that's not what we signed up to them for. We signed up to them completely because we knew that our agent believed in our work. And, you know, there's really no point sort of being like, wow, look, this agency represents Chimamanda, they represent, you know, whoever else, like Zadie Smith, everyone that's amazing. And then it's like, that doesn't mean you're going to turn into the next Zadie Smith. That's more dependent on you. Do you know what I mean? Your work, your book, and also having, you know, the agency more generally matters, but also having an agent that really believes in you and really is going to push what you're doing and get what you're doing.
Absolutely. And something just popped into my head when Yomi said the shelf. I think another top tip when trying to find an agent is go into a bookshop, go to the section that, you know, where your book, you would like your book to sit, look, pick up the books that kind of like are in that world, look at the back of the book at the, you know, the acknowledgements. People tend to always, you know, name their agent and thank their agent in the acknowledgement section, as a kind of like shortcut into kind of understanding where you want to sit, and then write those names down and contact them as well, because I know not everybody might not be on Twitter, and sometimes it's always kind of hard to kind of know who represents who sometimes because people have multiple agents. So yeah, that's the tip. So that brings us to the end of this mini episode. I hope it's been really helpful. Our next episode is going to be dealing with publishers, and that's going to be quite exciting. So yeah, listen next week. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.